Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, throw them open to somewhere in the neighborhood of, I'm getting there. I don't know, let's say Romans chapter 1. Now, I want to just do a little short review of last week, and then I want to get in because I didn't finish really the message last week. And then I got a whole bunch of more stuff this week. And so I was talking last week about the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing within our lives and getting the junk off our windshields of life, okay? Getting the pollen off of the oak pollen off your windshield so you could see. But the message is really about faith. And Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes. The good news about Jesus is the power of salvation for everyone, but it says who believes. You got to have faith in order to see God moving and operating in your life. You can't just, I don't think this is anymore, but it used to be. In the early 80s, you could buy sheets that had scriptures on them and pillowcases that had scriptures on them. And they were promoting, if you slept on them, you would get the Word of God. And I'm like, you can't get the Word of God in you unless you laid there at night with the flashlight reading the scriptures on the sheets. You're not going to sleep on the Word. I remember preachers used to even preach and talk about if you slept with your Bible under your pillow, you would get it by like osmosis. You're just going to get it. No, you can't do that. Okay? So it is with the things of God. You have to have faith and operate in faith if you want to see God move in your life. You can't just be a spectator. You have to be a participator in the things of God, in the Word of God, in your life, all right? You can't just say, God, make me full of love, and then you just are full of love. No, you have to act out in faith and say, I'm going to do it no matter what I feel like, amen? So anyway, I gave you steps to how to keep your faith alive and how to keep it going. And the first one was that you have to keep your heart clean, okay? That was the first one, is you got to keep your heart clean. The second one is you have to allow the Holy Spirit to blow in your life. You got to let the Holy Spirit come into your life and blow off the chaff and get the junk out of your life. If you walk around with unforgiveness, you walk around with, anger, you walk around with these issues in your life all the time, it's just like having bugs splattered all over your windshield. You are not going to see clearly what's going on, and it could hinder your effect of driving, and you have a wreck. Hello? Come on now. Y'all don't seem to be listening to me too much this morning. You're just kind of staring up here like a bug in the lights, but don't. Come on, help me here. Right? I mean, it's the truth. If you can't see out your windshield, you could have a wreck. If you can't see things in life going on because your heart's twisted, you're not going to see things correctly. I'll say this. I am shocked. I'm amazed at where we are in life, in the world, and I'm shocked at the way the attitude people have taken towards Israel. Okay? I'm just like sitting back and it's like, what? Somebody shoots 300 drones, missiles into your country, and you shoot them all down, and then you're supposed to just stop and say, well, okay, y'all gave it a good shot, and we shot them down, and okay, we're going to let that go. Okay, we'll stop here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. And then people are saying, well, y'all deserved it, and you had the iron dome to shoot everything down. So, it's no problem. What would they be saying if some got through? All I'm saying is, unless you let the Holy Spirit blow upon the wind of your heart, you're going to see things wrong. And so you're going to be twisted. And so when everybody else is sitting here looking perfectly fine and saying, looking at the situation in truth, the other person can be off because their windshield's dirty. Hello? I've had spots on my glasses before and are looking around thinking, what is that? Flying around. It ain't nothing but with a spot on my glass. Okay? So anyway, you got to get your heart clean. I talked about that. Going down to point 3, was that you have to set goals. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 says, you got to set goals. You got to write the vision down. Listen to me. If you don't have a goal to be a nice person, if your goal is, I'm just going to be however I feel today. So one day you're grumpy, one day you're happy, one day you're screaming, the next day you're crying. I mean, that just puts you in the psycho class, right? Your goal is to be a psycho and you're accomplishing it. So you can pat yourself on the back and say, way to go. You accomplished your goal today. I'm crazy. Right? But if you set a goal that I want to be a godly person, I want to be a blesser, I want to be a giver, I want to be a lover of God, I want to be a student of the Word, I want to be a disciple. You set these goals out in front of you, well, then you have something you're aiming for, then you can accomplish it by getting there. Hello? But if you're just like waking up and you're a Christian of however you feel that day, you're in trouble. Because I don't know about you, sometimes I don't know what it is. Ate too much bread. Ate a piece of bread. You know, blood sugar's up, blood sugar's down. I mean, you know, who knows? Right? And so if you're left to that, then, I mean, you're going to live a crazy, crazy life, okay? So then I got down to the fourth point, and I think I touched on it a little bit, but I really want to go here. So again, we're at Romans 1:16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The fourth point you got to do is you have to determine that you're going to live by faith, trusting God's promises for you. Folks, listen, it's a choice to walk in faith. It really is. It's a choice to walk in faith. You're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can I have an amen? Can I have some hands raised? You're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay? Have you ever seen him? Have you ever met him personally? Have you ever shaken his hand? Are y'all following me? He didn't say, yeah, I made Jesus the Lord of my life on, you know, September 14th of 62. He was there preaching at church and I was there. Well, he may have been preaching to the pastor or something, but hello? You hadn't met him. You hadn't seen heaven open up yet. You haven't seen the throne of God, actually. You really haven't seen the streets of gold. You haven't seen the mansions that God says that you have, right? You say, well, I had a dream. Okay, but you didn't see it. It wasn't there. You weren't walking physical. You didn't get to go and put it in your GPS and drive there. Hello? All those things you take by faith. Why? Because the Word of God says it's so. So you're believing the Word. I've heard people say, well, I don't know about that faith stuff. I don't like that faith stuff. That faith stuff, you know, that's just kind of, oh, I don't know, it makes me nervous, that faith stuff. And I'm like, well, there's so many things you do by faith. Even natural things, even things in the natural, you do by faith. But the Bible says that if you're called the just, all right, the just are those justified, they're going to live by faith. I'm going to show you something here. Let me just give you this scripture. You can write it down. Joshua 21:43. Joshua said there hadn't been one word of God's law that ever failed or God's word that ever failed. That's what Joshua said. Not one word that he ever spoke didn't happen. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content as such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. But there's times in life you have felt like God's left you. Or God may have forsaken you. And you may have prayed a prayer and said, God, where are you? What are you doing? Have you left me? But the Bible says right there, the Word says, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Folks, we've got to get down to a place in life that either we believe the Word of God is true or we don't. For too long, Christians have taken the Word of God and only, you know, used their Bibles with an X-Acto knife, cutting out what they don't like, and a highlighter liking what they do like. Hello? And you can't do that. Either all the Bible's true or none of it's true. Right? And God wants to just ignite your lives if you would just start living by faith and actually understanding what faith is and walking in faith. You already are in a certain point, but a lot of it you don't even think about. All right? He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So then if he left you, listen to me, he'd break his promise. You may feel like he left you, but your feelings are wrong. Oh, ooh, no, he left me. He can't. If he did leave you, then the Bible's not true. And if one part's not true, then it's all not true. So let's go home and sit on the couch and eat potato chips and just watch something. What I've always said is, man, you, people like me, you want to be saved. Because if there's no bounds, there's no rules, it's just going to be the law trying to keep me in check. They can't catch me. Well, that's not true. They did the other day. Nothing more embarrassing than the pastor sitting on the side of the middle of town with woo, 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 woo. And, of course, all my good parishioners driving by going. And then phone ringing before he could even give me a warning with people giving me a hard time. I'm like, man, there ain't nothing sacred in this town. That thing goes by quick, man. Not right. I already had 3 phone calls, Josh, before I got back to my drove over here to the office from where I was stopped over here. Need me to come bail you out? So I need to be saved. And I need the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I need this to be real, because if it isn't and it's just all left up to us to do whatever we want to, it ain't going to be good. Now, go to Ecclesiastes. Right after Psalms, back in there, start looking. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Let me show you something. Ecclesiastes 11, 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be done on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls in the south or the north, or in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Frankie, the other day, I was talking to him, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm planting. He said, I'm just dusting them in, just planting. You can't, as a farmer, sit around and wait till the conditions of the land are perfect to go plant. You would like it to be that way because it would be easy to do that. Hello? But you, as a farmer, you're going to plant because it's time to plant. And if you go out and you look at the sky and you look at the weather forecast and you let that dictate your life, then you'd be afraid. You wouldn't do it. You say, well, it doesn't show there's any rain. I don't know. I don't know if I should plan. But if you just go by faith, said, Lord, this is what you called me to do. This is my job. This is my life. This is what I'm supposed to do. So it's time to plant. This is the season. Here I go. I'm going to dust them in. God, you're going to take care of it. I'm trusting you to bring everything about. You're living by faith. You're not looking at the sea, the wind, or the bread that you've cast out on the water to see if it's going to produce. That's called faith. Just because everyone around you is in fear and losing their mind doesn't mean you have to. Just because all the other people in the world are going nuts doesn't mean you have to go nuts. Hello? You can still be a sound person. You can still walk in faith. You can still be happy in the midst of trauma and trials. You say, well, it's hard. I know. You got to build your faith. So this message is all about, you got to build your faith. You got to quit looking at the water. You got to quit looking at and regarding, you know, oh, wow, I don't know. The clouds don't look like it's right, or the weather doesn't look like it's right, or the wind's not blowing just right. John chapter 7, verse 24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In other words, don't make a judgment because of what it looks like. Make a judgment because you know what the Word says. That's a good Robert Richards paraphrase. Okay? Judge with righteous judgment. What does righteous judgment mean? It means what the Word says. That would be judging righteously. Yeah, you may go up to the Red Sea and say, well, Lord, there's a Red Sea in front of me. I don't know how we're going to get across it. But I remember a story in the Old Testament where you parted the Red Sea. So I guess it's time for you to do some parting, Lord. If you did it for one, you'd do it for me. You're following me. This is a life of faith. You're dependent upon Jesus to do it. Not your strength, not your ability, not your power. If you have to work up faith, well, then you're already wrong because you're having to work up. So that's works. So you didn't, by faith, really walk in faith. You worked up some faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Well, what's not seen? All the things of God. Until they manifest and we can see it. Well, we don't look at the things that are seen, the things that's saying, oh, woe is me. Folks, right now we're in the days of deception. The media is putting out stuff right now trying to get you to believe that America has turned against God. But I'm telling you, you line them up and you walk in there and you take a survey, you're going to find there's a whole lot more good red-blooded Americans out there who love God and love country. But they try to promote it as it's, you know, there's only us. We're the only ones left. But I'm telling you, it's not like that. But if you look at the things that are seen, you're going to get discouraged. If you look at the things that are not seen, you're going to get encouraged. For the things that you're seeing are just temporary. Everything you see is temporary. But the things that you're not seeing, that's what's eternal. The things of God is what's eternal. Okay, now, there was a few of you that were in my fast class on Thursday. And I sat and I taught y'all something that God had been speaking to me. And I'd laughed. I told him, I said, I don't think I can preach it on a Sunday morning because it's too deep. And I don't know if I can get it across because I was just sitting at a table with them explaining this. But this thing's stirring in my heart because I had the eyes of understanding enlightened this week in my own study of what I'm preaching. And I just kept digging at it. I said, oh, my goodness, this is good, Lord. And I just been preaching to my wife, preaching to the dog, preaching to anything. I'll stand there preaching to myself, preaching in the mirror. I mean, I just been preaching to myself. Woo! And I just keep getting just more and more and more. And it's just like I'm just shocked as I look through this. So I hope y'all are at least some semi-shocked and not just look and say, yeah, Pastor, I don't know what he's on, but I guess I need some. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And I want to share a little something with you here. I'm sharing it a little deeper than I did on Thursday night at my fast class, but Romans 4:20 says, it's talking about Abraham, and he said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Abraham was married, as you know. At the time he spoke this, he was 90 years old. He had no children. His wife had been barren. She had always been barren. Sarah never had any kids. He didn't have a whole lot of things to have any faith in. She's old. He's old. And they ain't got no kids and got no chance. And God says, I'm going to make you father of many nations. So I want you to change your name from Abram, which meant a father, to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. So he had to go walking around, talking and telling everybody, that my name, God changed my name last time. My name is Abraham, and he doesn't even have any children. So you talk about look like you went nuts, but God, Abraham did it. God said do it. Abraham did it. So till Abraham kept walking around, saying, I am Abraham, I'm Abraham. God said, I'm Abraham, till it says he became fully convinced. Oh, y'all are going to love this, because I didn't even tell my fast class this. He became fully convinced, listen to me, he became fully convinced that what God had said, he was able to perform. I got to researching this and tearing into this because it just I was so excited about it when this verse was just going off onto me, and I got into some stuff, and I found where the word fully convinced, it actually comes from a shipping term, a sailing term. Okay, just think about this. In those days, you didn't have, you know, a motor on your boat. The wind had to carry you. Okay, now listen, this is good. So the sailors wouldn't go out. They were going from one place to the other and stand on the edge of the boat looking at the wind and saying, I don't know, guys. I don't know if we should sail or not. I mean, you know, you think it's going to work? What if we get out there and there's no wind? What if it, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it looks good. I'm scared. Let's don't go. You know, the boat would never sail. But that's not what they did. They were sailing. They were sailors, captains of the ship. They would tell them to load the cargo. And the captain would say, load the cargo. And everybody say, what? He said, I'm fully convinced. We're sailing. So push the boat on out. Row out there a little bit you need to. Hoist the sail. Because we're sailing. And then they would lift up the sail. And then you know what? The wind would catch it. And away they'd go. Fully convinced. When Abraham was fully convinced. In other words, he finally said, you know, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lift up the sail in my life. I'm going to go ahead and step off and believe you. You're going to do what you said you could do. At that moment, he produced faith. He was fully convinced. And God says, that's the kind of faith I'm talking about. Now it's accounted to you for righteousness. So if you're sitting still standing on the shore and you're not moving out because you're looking at the wind, it's because you're not fully convinced. If God said, I'm going to never leave you nor forsake you, but you're chewing your fingernails saying, oh God, how are we going to get out of this? You're not fully convinced. You haven't lifted the sail up. There's something on the inside of you that is called the just shall live by faith, that you can lift up the sail of your life and let the wind of the Holy Ghost catch it, and God will take you to your desired place. But you got to take that step and lift up that banner, lift up that sail so that the wind can catch it and you can start sailing. You know what's funny is once you've done it once and the ship started moving, it's easier the second time. Once you've done it the first time, then it gets easier the next time and the next time and the next time because all of a sudden you realize this is how it goes. That's what sailors did. They had been sailing. They knew the winds. They knew what was going to go on. So they just said, load the boat. We're going. They didn't stand out there looking at the sea because they'd already been doing it so much. That's where you need to have a goal to be. You're the person who's not at all looking, not at all looking at the signs around you to tell you what you're going to do. You're looking at the wind of the Holy Ghost to tell you what to do. Can I have an amen? Okay. If you didn't like that one, I have another one. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is the fifth point about how to walk in faith. Now, before you get all upset, okay, I'm not going to beat anybody up here. Just hold on. The fifth point is you have to learn how to crucify the flesh. Now, right off the bat, you said, oh, Pastor, he going to talk about eating too many taters. No, hold on. Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul saying, I'm still having to walk around in this earth suit, but I'm not going to let the earth suit tell me how to live. I'm telling the earth suit how to live because my earth suit's filled with Christ. You know how you see, like, I mean, I'm going way back into the old days when, in the 70s, when astronauts are going to space and that was a big deal. You know, they had the spacesuit there and they had the round bubble helmet that went on there, right? And you could take that thing and set it over there and it looked just like a man, but this man wasn't in it. And then the man got in the suit. And one day I was looking at that and that's how the Holy Ghost told me. He said, that's how you're supposed to look at your body. That's just your earth suit. You're just walking. That's something that you're suited, that's for you to walk on earth and be seen. But the real you's inside the suit. That's the real you. It's going to live forever. He's inside of you, inside the earth suit. And you just got stuck with this model. I didn't get the tall, lean model. The other day after the eclipse went by, and the next morning I was telling my wife, I said, man, I feel different. I feel strange. I feel funny. She said, how do you feel? I said, I feel like I'm taller. I just have this sense that maybe the earth's gravitational force stretched me. I'm believing I'm taller. I didn't let anybody measure me. I just felt taller, and I loved it. But it's the earth suit you're walking around in, okay? Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let me show you what it means to not live in the flesh. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now stop right there for a minute. You see, most Christians, because we've been beat up in churches for so long, of course, I pray anybody that's been in this church their whole life that you weren't beat up, but we tend to take everything and we turn it around and we condemn ourselves because we say we're not good enough or we don't perform well enough or we're sinners or I wish I could quit doing that or thinking that, you know, that makes me mad, that makes me angry, that makes me want to cuss. You know, I did cuss, I did kick the dog, I did get mad at the wife, and you go through these things. And so then when you go to pray, then the devil's always taking those things and using it against you, saying, why would God answer your prayer? Because you're a sinner. Is that just me, or has that ever happened to y'all? Can I have, like, a little bit better amen to let me know that I'm at least preaching to people who do understand what I'm talking about? Don't sit there and just act like you don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. Okay? And then you go to church, and then the preacher preaches about, you know, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And then you're just like, oh, God. Right? I mean, I would enjoy preaching hellfire and damnation. I would. Because it kind of fits me and throw stuff and kick stuff and, you know, go into that. But I don't think it's effective, okay? That scaring people to heaven doesn't work. When we were years ago in Mexico, there was a guy, and he called it his dangling doctrine. And this guy wasn't a part of us, but sometimes he would end up the same place we were, and he would want to go into the church, shut the church, close all the windows. And it was the middle of the summer in Mexico, and it'd get hot in that church, everybody's sweating. He would show this film called Burning Hell, and it showed people that didn't make it to heaven, going into hell, and he called it his dangling doctrine. Just by the time everybody was sweating and just watched this thing full of fear worms coming out of everybody's eyes, and he'd get up and give an invitation. Does anybody want to get saved? You don't have to go to this. And he said, man, I get them in. I pack them in by the droves. And I said, I'm sure you do. They just want to get out of the church. It's too hot in there. But I don't believe in that. I want to show you something today that's going to change your thinking. He says, he says, there's no condemnation for those if you walk in the Spirit, right? And so then he goes down here and he says, this last part, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What's he talking about? Okay, you got to understand something. When the original, we start reading the Bible, you know, you got Adam and Eve and the problems and everything goes on. And then by Genesis 12, Abraham shows up, right? God speaks to Abraham, says, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. I want you to leave your family, go on out there, and I'm going to start something with you. Then God starts talking about what we call the Abrahamic covenant. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. It goes through all that. We go through Abraham's life. We go through all his kids' life. We go through all that kind of stuff. You know, we're winding on down, right? And then you end up with Moses, right? And so Moses, and he goes out, and then God takes him up to Mount Sinai, gives him the law. He puts it down. He says, here you go. Here's the law. This is what, if anybody wants to be perfect, you want to serve me, this is what you got to do. Well, the thing was so extensive, no man could do it. That's called the law of sin and death. Because what the law is, you know, what the scriptures say. Let me give you the scripture so you don't think I'm... Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh could be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law and all these things, don't eat shellfish. Don't eat pork. All that was put about to show you weren't going to quit eating bacon to serve God. Do you think it's odd that God says, I'm going to find one thing that's really going to get them? Bacon. They won't give up bacon for me, I'm telling you. He knew right how to get you. Okay, so the law of Moses, all this law, all this thing, all the do's and don'ts were to show you that you're imperfect, that you cannot make it to heaven by works. You're never going to get it down good enough. Yet we try. Lord, you should answer my prayer. I've had perfect attendance this month in church. I wanted to eat that other piece of cake, and I didn't. I gave it up so that I could just be closer to you. When so-and-so spoke ugly to me, I did not tell them what I thought. I held my tongue. I've been good. My husband, that idiot you gave me, I didn't tell him he was an idiot. I smiled and said yes. See, we're living by works. You think God's going to answer your prayer because you've been living good. You've been doing right. And God says, no, I gave you the law of Moses to show you that every time you thought you could do it right, even thinking you could do it right enters you into pride. Therefore, your pride is meter went off, and so you're full of pride.
I said, oh, God.
That's what it was all about. So don't ever go back over to the Old Testament and start digging through the law and what it says, trying to get it to apply to your life and say, well, God said this. Yeah, if you want to live by works. The whole New Testament, the whole mission of the Apostle Paul was to try to get us away from that, right? Because the law was to show us that we needed a Savior. You needed somebody to bail you out. Now, back to Romans chapter 4, verse 23. This is just where I want to dance. If I had taps on, I'd try it. But I don't. Romans 4, 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. He's talking about Abraham. That it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Now, I doubt any of you in here have ever used the word in a sentence, imputed. Okay? It's not something we use. So I began to look up this word. And I began to dig into this word imputed. And it's an accounting term. And this word means that I took out of, for instance, my bank account and put in your bank account $25. And it showed up in your bank account saying $25. And that $25 has no strings attached to it. It is your $25. Cannot be taken from you. It's yours. That just I imputed to you. That's what it means. I took it and I imputed it unto you. That's just the end of the story. Nothing can happen to it. My books show 25. 25 it is. That's it. I can bank on that 25. I can go to the grocery store and spend $25 because there's $25 in that account because it has been imputed to me. It is mine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can't be taken. Doesn't have to have anything to do with works. When Paul is talking about living by the flesh, and I have crucified my flesh, what he's talking about is that he has stop trying to live by the law. And he has started living by faith in Jesus to make him righteous. Oh, now this one's going to get you. You're going to get quiet. You're going to look down. You're going to kick at the floor. You're going to paw like a horse before he drinks water. That's what you're going to do when I say this. Because if you're still by works trying to please God, then you do not have the revelations. Your eyes have not been enlightened that you have had righteousness imputed to you because of your faith and belief in Jesus, and you're still trying to live by works. If the devil can come up and talk you out of what you're believing God for because he can talk you into the fact that you're not worthy to receive it, then you don't have a revelation that in your account has been imputed righteousness. You went up and made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because you said, well, that's the right thing to do. I mean, that's bound to count some brownie points. I'll get some gold stars in my account because of that. I'm going to go forward to the church. I mean, the altar call looks pretty impressive, and I'm going to go up there. I want to make an altar call. And No. If you did that, see, I did that once in life. I did that because of the church I was raised in. That's where you're taught. And my parents told me to go to the confirmation class, and I went to the confirmation class, and I did what was right because they said, this is what is right. Oh, but it was in that barn when I was about to blow my brains out, and I cried out to Jesus, and he touched my heart, and I said, Jesus, if you're really real, I want to live for you. And my heart changed, and I knew it changed. That day, the revelation that had been imputed unto me, I didn't really understand it all, but that day is the day that I know that I was right with God. And there's too many Christians walking around, and they have no idea they're right with God. Well, are you right with God? I've been to church and I got that certificate they sent me, and I got a baptismal certificate somewhere. Oh my God, where's my baptismal certificate? Like that's going to count? What are you going to do? Die and go to heaven and hold up a piece of paper for Jesus? I was baptized. I went in the water, Lord. You're going to use that? You're going to try to pull that card on him? Or are you going to go to heaven and you're going to walk up to St. Peter and say, yeah, just check my account. It says I'm good. Get the door open. It was imputed. I mean, folks, you got to understand this. Look what it says. I'm going to go back and read again, verse 23. Now, it's not written for his sake alone. That's talking about he wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Who's us? Us. Us. That's where you got written in the Bible right there. You were under the us category. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and raised because of our justification. So if Jesus went to the cross, see, Moses had the law, right? Here's the law, all the do's and the don'ts. Jesus goes to the cross as the Lamb of God, dies on the cross, goes into the tomb. And if that would have been the end of the story, well, I couldn't preach this. But there was a resurrection from the grave. And the resurrection from the grave shows to us that he was the Son of God and that God had accepted his sacrifice because he was the perfect lamb. He was the perfect lamb whose blood fulfilled all this sin that had started back at Adam. All these offenses, all these things we needed to be justified, all the things that were in your account. You say, well, I was a good person. I didn't do much. Still had stuff in your account because you're measuring up against the law. And if you can't keep all the law, well, then you're guilty of it all. The Bible says you sin in one part, you're guilty of it all. You say, well, I never killed anybody or anything. It doesn't make any difference. You thought ugly. And so, therefore, you're just as guilty as a murderer. Well, that's not fair. That's the way it works. I didn't make up the rules. I didn't put it down. God did. That's what he said. He wanted to show you that you couldn't by works ever make yourself perfect. So listen to me. Oh, God. I just keep seeing it. So here you are. You're a sinner. You stand no chance in the world of getting into heaven. You're not going to make it. And your account is full of garbage. And you cry out to Jesus. Jesus, I see, I do believe you are the Son of God. You made the perfect sacrifice. I choose to crucify my flesh, trying to live by the law. And I'm going to live for you, and the just shall live by faith. And I'm believing for you to impute in my account righteousness. It's like I see it, you know, like we don't use so much anymore, ink stamps. I see like God with a big ink stamp, you know, rolls it on the ink. Righteous. That account's settled. That account's settled. You say, well, what if I sin the next day? It's been imputed to you to be righteous. The next day when you sin, you're going to have to answer for the consequences of it. You go in there and tell your wife, what do you got for supper, woman? You're going to answer for it. God says, I'll just let her take care of that. I mean, I ain't no sense even messing with it. But on the level of are you righteous and right with God, your account has been paid. It stays the same. So then why do you have the right to go to the throne of God and pray? Because you're righteous. You're right with God. Why do you have the right to ask that the promises of God come to pass in your life? Because you're righteous. Because you've chosen to not live by the flesh works. You've chosen to live by faith in the Son of God. Oh, this is such good news. That's why Paul called it the good news. The gospel means the good news. Because all of a sudden, we turned and we looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, you are so amazing. You are unbelievable. You paid the price for me. You gave your life for me. You were the sinless Lamb of God who gave your life for me. You made a way where there wasn't a way. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. I want to live for you, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Because he made me right with God. He made me right with God. So now I'm going to live by faith. Not by works, because I realize the works, I ain't going to make it. I heard something this week and I went and checked it out. I just wanted to tell you this. In the Old Testament, when they made the tabernacle, they had basically a tent curtain, big tent, went around. You went into, that was the outer court. And then you brought you into here and there was another tent section. And if you went into there, that was the inner court. And inside the inner court was one more tent section. And in there was the Holy of Holies. Okay? Everybody that came to the temple could go into the outer courts where the brazen altar was. That's where you made your sacrifice. Only the priests went into the inner court. That's where the table of showbread was and the lampstands and all the things that they needed tended to their duties. But inside was the Holy of Holies, and nobody went in the Holy of Holies because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and nobody went in there except once a year. I read this, and then I had to go look it up, see if this is right. It still preaches good. Even if it wasn't right, it still preaches good. That the passageway from outside, you know, and just the boonies come through there into that outer court, that was called the way. And then from that outer court area into the inner court, it's called the truth, the passageway. And then going into the Holy of Holies, guess what that was called? The life. And so when Jesus stood up that day and he says, hey, don't worry, guys. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to take care of everything. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And he said all of that. And he said, look, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. What he was saying is I'm the passageway all the way in through into the Holy of Holies. That's why Paul said, when you make that passageway and get into the Holy of Holies, then it gets imputed into your account. Holy, righteous, right with God. God's not mad at you. Yeah, but what about what I did yesterday? Repent. But your account shows paid in full by the blood of Jesus. So then quit trying by works to do good. Realize you're righteous in what's been imputed to you, and then you will do good. When you realize God's not mad at you, God's not got nothing against you, all of a sudden you just want to live for him. You're just so happy you're saved. You're so happy you're right with God. You're so happy that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. All of a sudden, it doesn't make any difference that old, Sister Bucket Mouth over there is just slapping her yap and getting you in trouble, making you mad because you just don't really care because she ain't got nothing to say because Jesus, I'm living by faith and it's Christ in me. You got people doing stupid things all over the world and you're just like, oh, well, God, you're in charge. You're going to take care of it. You know, this is probably a bad example, but it's the only one I can think of. I don't know. Like, I just now figured out, like, how to work my phone, the one I've had for the last 17 years or something. So everybody kept talking about sending me reels. And I said, what are reels? I don't know what reels are. I don't understand. I don't see how this happens. What are y'all doing? Where are you going? This is how bad off I am. I had to go get my glasses on last night and ask my wife how to change the refrigerator from pushing crushed ice out to cubed ice. I've only tried once in my life to get money out of an ATM. Once. She thought she would instruct me, help me out in life. So she took me to the ATM. I'm driving. We drive up, and she says, well, okay, we'll push that button. And so I reach over there, and I push the screen, and I said, it's not doing anything. See, this is why I don't come to things like this. It doesn't work. She says, it works. I can get money out of here all the time. Just push the screen. She said, push the button. I reach over there. Push the screen. Finally, she looked at what I was doing. She says, Robert, there's a button right beside it. You're pushing the screen. Push the button. Oh, okay. That's how bad it is with me. I said all that to say that, so then I found them. And I was looking through reels. And so now I just now have learned this thing about Karens. Those of you who laugh, I assume you already know. But I just learned what a Karen is. You know, a man or a woman who's just gone off their hinges and taking up something. And every time I see one, all I can say is, dear Lord, look at all the emotional energy you're putting out for what? I mean, you just need to be locked in your house or something. I mean, there's no sense in getting that upset over this issue. It's... Huh? Yeah, delivered. I was like, man, you got a devil. But so I'm just like shocked that this is the way people operate. And I look at it and I'm just like, man, you're nuts. Why would you get so upset? Why would you work up so much? Why would this be such a big deal? Why? How have you let... Folks, I believe there's a lot of people living like that. They're just living and they're unhinged and they're just out there because everything is, my gosh, how nice it is and peaceful it is to just know I'm right with God. Am I the best pastor? No. Am I the perfect husband? No. Am I got everything right? Do I do everything right? No. Do I sin? Yeah. We want to call it sin. Yeah, I do. I make mistakes all the time. But I'm right with God. And to know that I'm right with God on the inside of me, when I wake up in the morning and I know I'm right with God, I don't have to fall on my face and repent real quick because I had a bad dream last night and I was a sinner. Well, I can do it. That you're just right with God. You're getting up and you're walking because you've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life and it has been stamped in your account. You're right. Whew. Then the devil, no matter what, he comes to me and says, I'm praying. He comes to me and says, that's not going to happen. And I said, would you shut up? Look at that account balance. Why don't you shut up and go pick on somebody else, man? Boom, the stamp has been, it has been imputed to me. I've never used the word imputed, okay? But you can't imagine how many times I have said that this past week of just walking along. Man, I got imputed. I kind of like it. I mean, it's like a redneck something, you know. I got imputed. It's like impaled, but imputed, you know, and I'm liking it. Although there was a moment that I lost the word imputed and I couldn't say it. And I kept going. I had to go get my Bible and read it and look at it again because it got lost in my head because I got to saying, I've been impaled. I've been imparted. And I got in all these things. No, that's not the word. It's imputed. It's imputed. Okay. Get over here to imputed. Folks, all I'm telling you, life is good when you believe in Jesus as your Savior. Amen. So put your Bibles up. It's time to go eat tamales. Get into the real business of life. So stand up. Look at the people around you. And just say, hey, you've been imputed. Not impaled. Not imparted. You've been imputed righteousness. If you're out there and you're watching this, you're listening to it, listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just listen to this message until you get it. I'm telling you, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He paid the price for you. And when you believe in Him, when you accept Him, when you get Him down as your Lord and Savior, then all of a sudden it has become imputed unto you righteousness. If you're in here today, let me have my prayer team people come down. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's why the prayer team's up here, to pray with you, to get this into your hearts. I'm telling you, church, if you want the eyes of your understanding enlightened, keep going over this message and going over this message and going over this message and going over this message until finally it erupts as a revelation in your life that you've been made right with God. Amen? But let me pray for you and pray for all the food, and then we can, I encourage you, stay here today, make a friend, go visit with somebody new. We need friends. As we have dinner on the grounds, everybody's welcome to come over. But Father, I just declare this, these congregation, these are blessed people. Lord, I declare that the blessings of God are upon us. I declare, Lord God, that we are right with you because we have made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of our life. I declare today, Lord God, that for everyone out there watching, listening, everyone that's going to hear the sound of my voice, that, Lord, as we cry out to you and say, Jesus, come into my life, that, Lord, you make us right with you. So, Lord, bless them today. Bless this time that we have together. Bless our fellowship. Lord, let us make a new friend today. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise for it. And, Jesus, we thank you so much for what you did for us. We give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.